Wonderful.
Take your Bible with me, please. The book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 1. The book of Philippians and chapter number 1. And I'm thankful for what the Lord has done already in my heart since I've been here. This meeting has been very special to me. Last year, I'll tell you, last year I needed this meeting more than anybody could ever know. Something happened in our life and in our family's life that honestly shook me to the core. And I came in needing something in the Lord. He met that need. He did it again already this week. I came needing something. And if you'd be honest with yourself this morning, you came needing something too. I know sometimes it's easy to get in here, and I'm not trying to judge motives, but it's easy to get in here and put a brave face on and try to act tough. But nobody's asking you to act tough or asking you to get some help. That's what we're doing it for. And so we are encouraged. I want to say just very quickly, thank you, Brother Jacob, for letting me be a part of the meeting again. Just coming would already be a great privilege, but to have a chance to preach, I appreciate that very much. I love him and his family. They're very good friends to us. I'm thankful for Brother Gravely. And I tell him he's a pastor to young pastors, many of them. He's been a great friend to me, and the Lord put him in my life right when I needed it. And this will be the first time that I get to meet Brother Floor in person, and I'm very excited about that. And I've heard him preach several times, and my brother-in-law, Brother Chris Simpson, we ride down the road, man, we listen to him preach, and I want to tell him thank you. Thank you for what you preach. It means a lot to me. And I'll be honest with you, readily admit to you that I'm really struggling this morning trying to figure out where this is going to fit in the flow of the meeting. But I decided a long time ago that I would rather struggle with not knowing than to not do it and be out of place. And so the Lord knows what He's doing, and so we'll trust Him. He's the only one that can do anything worth profit anyway. And so if there is one thing I know, it is that anybody in any given place, in any given situation in life, can use some encouragement. Would you say amen to that? And that's all I want to try to do this morning, is to be an encouragement to you and help you. And I'd like to say from the pastor that's here, thank you. We need you. And you matter to us. But I'd like to say to the teenager, to the young people, to the stay-at-home mom, I hope you think that your only job here is not to keep those kids quiet so your husband can get help. You matter. We need you. And I'd like to encourage everybody, if we could, for just a few moments. Philippians chapter number 1 will be there in just a moment. I'd like to ask you just a series of questions, and I may be accused of positive thinking or positive self-talk or whatever you want to say. Usually that is not my reputation, and so this is quite different for me this morning, and a little nervous about it, but honestly, here is where we're at. You know, and I know, that you would not enjoy a sermon if a preacher got up and told you that you were worthless, told you that you would never amount to anything, told you that you'll never get past whatever it is that you're struggling with, told you that you really don't matter, you would not listen to a sermon like that, yet you preach that sermon to yourself every week. Is that right? We have a lot of problems with perspective. The truth of the matter is that many, many vital truths in the Christian life come to greater light in life with the right perspective. Right. And so I want to talk to you about a matter of perspective this morning. Before we read our passage, I'd like to ask you this question. If it were possible, and if you had the power to change maybe some of the circumstances that you're living with in your life right now, would you change them? As we've met together this morning, we all share certain common circumstances. But the truth of the matter is that every person in a pew represents a whole list of unique circumstances that they're sharing all by themselves. There may be a preacher in here that you've already decided this will be your last meeting and you're going to go home and you're going to hang it up. There may be somebody, a young person in here, that's already decided that you're going to text the boy or text the girl or do what mom and dad encourage you not to do. Maybe there's somebody in here just struggling, saying, I don't even know why I'm doing all this anymore, and please don't let me lose you. I'm not trying to lead you down some philosophical path, but the truth of the matter is, it's real, isn't it? It's real. What you're facing is very, very real in your life. The circumstances that surround my life may be very different from the ones that surround yours. And the question is, again, as we think about those, is if you had the power And if you had the opportunity, would you change them? How about in your family? Is everybody all right this morning? Man, I knew it wasn't going to be shouting like what we just heard. That's all right. I love it. But that's just not my assignment this morning. How about in your family? I know it sounds silly that we're all sitting in here and probably everybody thinks that it's going okay, but I'm telling you right now, I had one of the hardest... Is it all right if I'm just a little honest this morning? I mean, I know you don't want to be too honest, but I had one of the hardest conversations in the world with my dad this week. Right before I came to this meeting, we, for the first time probably, are at a stark disagreement about something that we just believe to be a core value. He's not a bad man. He is honestly probably one of the greatest reasons that I am where I am today. But he has been through something in his life that I've never had to go through. And now that it's going to affect somebody else in our family, I see it one way, but he can't help but see it the other. And for the first time, we had a difficult conversation. 54 minutes and 33 seconds. I'll never forget them. It ended by saying, I love you, I'll always love you, I'll honor you, I'll respect you. But we had several difficult conversations inside that one. I guarantee you there's somebody here right now that if you could change a relationship with your parents, you would. If you could change a relationship with your children, you would. I guarantee you there's a husband sitting here, whether your wife came or not, you need to go home and if you had the power to, you would change a circumstance that involves your marriage. How about your financial situation? I guarantee you there's somebody in here this morning nervous about the coming days and all the things that are going to be coming in this month. You got this much month left and you already went through all the money that you got allocated for it. And if you could just pay this debt off, or if you could just have this opportunity, or if you could just get a better job, and if one or two things lined up and changed for you, that the situation would be totally different. Would you change that situation if you had the power to? How about friendships and relationships? I've had the privilege to preach to young people for a lot of years, and I love doing that. But friend, half the stuff that we preach at youth camp would fit perfectly in meetings like this, right here. I guarantee you there's people in this room right now that you would love to get rid of a relationship in your life if you could. You feel trapped by it. It's a talk. You say whatever you want to. I guarantee if you had the power to, there'd be some circumstances involving relationships, friendships, that you would change. There would be some that you would start and foster. Hey, I'm talking to preachers in here. I know preachers that would love to have friendships with other preachers. They would love to be that person's friend. They would love to be a part of that fellowship. If you had the power to change all this, would you do it? No doubt this morning we would all change circumstances of health of those that we love if we could. We would not watch people suffer with physical discomfort. We would not watch people deal with cancer and Alzheimer's and all the things that are plaguing them. We would change it if we could. I'll let the cat out of the bag, the rabbit out of the hat. I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't have the power to let you know how to change them. Sorry. But here is what I can do, encourage you. You ever heard somebody say this? We all heard it. We navigate through life talking with all the different people that you talk to, whether it be your male person, whether it be the lady at the hotel desk. We've all heard somebody say, hey, how are you doing? And they start out by saying this, well, under my circumstances. Well, considering my circumstances... The problem is that for so many, this is not just a phrase that has become a preface to a conversation. It has become their perspective concerning their life. Their whole life is shaped by them being under their circumstances. Can you handle one more question this morning? Why are you living under there anyway? God has never intended for His people to live under their circumstances. In fact, when you read the Bible, there are men, there are women, there are whole nations, there are groups of people that have been given the mercy and the grace of God to rise above their circumstances and live a godly life. What are we doing under there? We will read the words of one of those men this morning. Philippians chapter number 1, I'd like you to pick up verse number 12, where the Bible says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." One thing that the Apostle Paul had in common with most of us today, whether or not you choose to do so via your social media or around the lunch table, the Apostle Paul never shied away about sharing his circumstances in his life. He would write a group of people and he would tell them what exactly he's going through. I don't know when we got this idea that everybody's got to walk in like a spiritual macho man. Everything at the church is great. Everything in my marriage is great. All of my children are serving the Lord. When the truth of the matter is, we feel like Paul. Man, we're a night and day in the deep. We're in distress. We're in perils of robbers, perils of countrymen, perils by my own brethren, hungry, naked, and fastings often. Sometimes we're barely just hanging on. Make it through a day. Man, half the time I leave my church, and I'm ashamed to say it. I've only been pastoring for 3 years. Sometimes I leave my church on a Sunday night. I have the privilege to walk to my house from there. I'll walk and I'll just think, "Lord, there ain't no way nobody's coming back Wednesday. There ain't no way that they're going to be there." I look at certain things. I'll say, "Lord, there's no way." Under the circumstances that we are, we got a small crowd. A lot of those crowd are old. I don't mean to be offensive by that. We got different opportunities. We got one of the largest, one of the fastest growing mega churches in the Southeast. They have taken residence right down the road from our church. I was talking to one of their members, and unfortunately, he's the son of one of my members. And I said, "Well, brother," I said, "you know, I see the building and everything. How's everything going?" He said, "Well," he said, "we canvassed the neighborhood," and he said, "our first Sunday, we had 850. I thought, "Well, praise God. Praise God."
What a blessing.
I have three small children. I got an 8-year-old son. I got a 5-year-old daughter that thinks she's 30. And I have a 2-year-old that is the twoest 2-year-old that I've ever seen in my life. And honestly, there's some times at about 8:30, I look at my wife and say, "Fist bump, baby, we did it one more time."
Yeah.
We made it through one more night, just for about 30 minutes later to realize the night is young. I'm telling you a little bit about me because that's who I live with. I live with me. You know what you came in here with. You know what's weighing on your heart this morning. You know what you thought about this morning, what you thought about last night. You know that if you had a chance to grab one of the preachers here and get them to a corner yourself, you'd ask advice about what? Your circumstances. Circumstances are kind of a funny thing. They produce some pretty interesting responses. There are people who always seek to run from their circumstances. They think that if they can just lock away for a little while and hide themselves away, that they can just close the door, pull the covers up real tight, and everything's going to be okay. Friend, you know and I know that never works. Jonah would be a good example of that. "Well, if I could just run it out, if I could just run past it, if I could just get rid of these circumstances and just change a job or change a church or change a state." But the problem is, you'll never outrun them. There are those who hold others responsible for their circumstances. Boy, we've met people like that, haven't we? If I had gone to a different school when I was a kid, if I had a different family situation, if I lived on a different side of the tracks, if I had a different preacher, if I had different opportunities, if I had a different, you fill in the blank. Some people's life is full of just looking around saying, "You know what, they're the reason that I'm not what I think I should be. They're the reason I'm held back. They're the reason that I'm not doing this. Once again, we know that's not true. Adam and Eve seem to be a pretty good example of this response. Well, I know this garden and everything was perfect, but that woman. Well, look, I might be that woman, but that stinking snake. Man, I'm not trying to be funny this morning, but there are those who relish in their situations, their circumstances. There are people who will tell you that they're so miserable enough that you'll believe that they actually enjoy it. They enjoy being miserable. They enjoy walking in and having people come over there and say, "Brother, are you all right? Man, I know you're going through a hard time. Brother, I know, but hey, Jesus is coming soon. Hey, let me help you with something." I don't want to be mean to anybody this morning. That's not the intent of my heart. But the best thing that you can do for a person like that is to stop feeding into it. Quit pampering to them. Tell them that God is good. Let them hear the preaching, and they know that they got it way better than they deserve. Quit feeding into all of that. Lastly, the response, really the only productive one, is there are those that, through the mercy and grace of God, rise above their circumstances. There are those that do not have a victim mentality. There are those that see that, yeah, it may be bad, but it could always be worse. There are those that see that God, look, let me just tell you, there are those that know that there is no bad big enough that God's grace cannot beat it. There are those that know that it could be worse tomorrow. There are those that know that they deserve hell, and that's all they deserve. So anything on top of that is nothing more than a blessing. And there are those that rise above their circumstances. They serve God. It has been said that there is nothing that time and circumstance cannot change. And I believe it.
Yes, sir.
What I mean by that is, you may be strong today. You might not outrun time, though.
Right.
You might be weak today. Today might be the worst day of your life.
Right.
You know, tomorrow could be so much better.
Right.
It could change in a moment.
Right.
Time and circumstance changes all things. I'd like to look at Paul just for a few minutes. I'd like to visit with him in his prison. And I would like to notice three factors, if we can, together, that allowed Paul and will also allow us not to struggle in the chains of our circumstances, but will allow us to stand in the Christ of our circumstances. I'd like to show that to you, what it looks like in the text here. First, I want you to see that first factor was that Paul focused on Christ more than he focused on the chains. Do you see it in the text? Did you pick it up as we were reading? Paul, in many of his writings, I've told you already, he has no problem detailing the things that are directed to him by his circumstance. And he does so again here. But do not miss this morning. He talks more about development than he does difficulty and discouragement. He acknowledges that life is not rosy all the time. He acknowledges that things may not be how he thought they would be. But he also acknowledges it that God, the true, the only wise God, is working something in those chains to make something profitable for Christ. I want you to notice it in verse number 12. He says there are things. In verse number 12, he says bonds. In verse 13, it's bonds. Later on in the text, it's bonds. He is in literal chains, but he's making so much more of Christ than he is of the chains. He has come to a place that he has recognized and he has learned that it does not matter, even if he is shackled in literal chains, that the Spirit of God in Christ is performing and developing something eternal in his life. You say, how in the world could he do that? It's the same way that we can. Number two, the second factor is this: by focusing on sovereignty despite your surroundings. Don't let me lose you now. Don't get nervous now. But friend, do we believe in the sovereignty of God or do we not? Do we believe that He has a purpose for our life? You say, what is that purpose? I can't tell you specifics, but I can give you a pretty good idea. Your purpose in life is twofold. It is to fellowship with God, first and foremost. God created you to fellowship with Him from the very beginning. That's what He was interested in. Sure, He gives us things. Sure, He allows us to do things. But if He never did, just to wake up and walk with Him and fellowship with Him is the reason that you were created. And not only to fellowship with God, but to fulfill the will of God in your life. What does that look like? I've told you I can't paint it for you. For me right now, it's in Sylacauga, pastoring 25 people, struggling with 3 kids, driving a minivan, God help, and just doing what I can where I am. And God is using me to bring glory to Himself and good to other people. You want to know what your purpose is? It's to fellowship, it's to fulfill. It's to bring glory to God, it's to bring good to your brother. It helps when we remember that the purpose we're in is never apart from the presence of Him. It doesn't matter what it seems like you're going through. And I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to say that you got it worse than they or they got it worse than you. I'm saying, friend, it does not matter. Your purpose does not change. His presence does not leave. That means if you will remember the person who it is and the presence of Him, your purpose can flourish in any situation. You say, you got any Bible for that? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I decided to only pick a few. There's so many. We picked a few. How about Joseph? How about Joseph? You know you can't preach something like this and not mention him. Oh, the Lord gave him a dream. And from that point on, God bless him. God bless him. But he had enough understanding of his purpose, who he was and whose he was, that he was able to stand at the end and say, now listen, boys, it's okay. We're not bitter. We're not going to get back at you. You can calm down. So you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what now? What did he mean for good? Oh, you're talking about when he was sitting on the throne. Yeah, that was a brief moment of it. That's great that you brought that up. But he meant it for good. So what did he mean for good? Oh, you mean the pit. Getting thrown out. Oh, the selling, the slavery. Well, there's a lot of stuff in that. You study that? That's a horrible life. That's a horrible life. Oh, you're talking about being lied about. Thrown into prison unjustly. Forgot about in there. Circumstances. Say, how can I do it? How can I not be under? I mean, look what I'm going through. But look where you're going, friend. And look who's going with you. How about number 3? Number 3, he focused on eternal benefits more than everyday burdens. It is so easy. Look, if there's only going to be one honest person here, I'll be it this morning. That's fine. That's fine. It is so easy to wake up. Man, just see the burdens of everyday life. Look, I'm not trying to win people over emotionally, but look, I know that there are preachers in here. You wake up and I remember what it was like to be that man's age. I remember what it was like to have that amount of energy or that. And you look in that mirror and there's so much fire there, there's so much passion there. What you have that I don't is there's so much wisdom there now. But you look at your body and you just say, I just can't do what I did back there. There's some teenagers right now, you can't wait to get your license. We're all praying that the Lord comes back. You're doing the opposite. Hey, I grew up in church. You ain't kidding me. Lord, if you just hold on till I drive a car. I'm about to lose the whole crowd, but I'm going to say it. I'm already here. Lord, if you'll just hold on, let me kiss somebody one day. If you'll just let me get married, please. Lord, would you let me graduate? And once after them kids started coming, Lord, please come back today. Or even so, how long, oh Lord? How long? How long? Hey, look, I'm talking to somebody right here today. I'm thinking about my wife today. You know what my wife day has looked like so far? She sent me a picture of us. I know. I don't know if it was a guilt trip. I don't know what it was. I said, hey, sweetheart, I'm about to walk into church. I said, possibility I might preach. I'm nervous. I said, good night. Please pray for me. She said, I'll be praying for you. She said, it's been a morning over here. Y'all know what that means, don't you? It's been a morning over here. And I thought, man, yesterday was one of them mornings too. And Sunday morning, I mean, I can't even tell you some of the stuff that my kids get into. You got time for one quick? I'll tell you this. Walk in the other night. And my daughter Olivia, she is our youngest. She's two, and man, I love that little girl. She honestly has me wrapped around her. I know it's true. But she likes to do this thing. She's figured out that she's really good at hiding, really good, and so good that I mean, she's almost killed herself twice in the dryer. You know what I'm talking about? And so the checklist goes like this: we get home from church. Kids, you go get your pajamas on. I'm going to do this. Where's Olivia? That's the checklist. I walk in and she's in the bathroom. And I walk in. She says, well, hello, Daddy. I said, hey. I said, what are you doing? And she turned and she's got my razor hanging from the top of her lip. Oh my goodness. Hanging there. I mean, attached. And I said, hey, what are you doing? And she said, I shave like Daddy. I said, you're doing a great job. I said, you're doing a great job. And I can hear my wife, hey, have you found her? No. No, check her room. I'm doing everything I can. You know you can't get them things to stop bleeding. Anybody feel like that's what your life's been like lately? You wake up in the morning, you literally have a razor hanging off of your face. You feel it, don't you? We're laughing because we identify, because we feel it. Behind all the smiles this morning, there's something that's weighing on us. Everybody has circumstances. How in the world could we rise above them? We can focus on Christ more than the chains. We can look toward sovereignty despite the surroundings. You can look at the things that you call an everyday burden and understand that everybody else, somebody else at least, will classify that as an eternal blessing that they'd be grateful for.
Yep.
But what does that really look like? You say, okay, preacher, I'm with you. And you've said something, it's fair. But what is that going to look like for me tomorrow when I wake up? I'd like to show you what it looked like in Paul's life. Is that okay? Then we'll be done. Number one, I want you to see that just like you and I, Paul was personally affected by his circumstances. He said, oh, preacher, that's the Apostle Paul. Friend, don't look. It's just Paul. He's a man. Just like we are. And I'm telling you right now, you've been very gracious to me. Thank you. I appreciate that. You've got with me this morning. That's really great. But if you were to take me out after I'm done and beat me up and throw me out, I'm not coming for dinner. I'm not coming back. Ever. I already had some hesitations about coming to Mississippi in the first place. Paul's just a person. You do understand that, right? He's just a person that's spirit-filled, trying to do the best that he can, living life as it comes. Sometimes we look at the Bible people, we look at the characters and think, well, friend, don't miss it. They're people. They're people. Don't you know that Paul was personally affected by his circumstances? You say, can you prove that? I sure can. He's writing a letter toward the end of his life, and he says, look now. He said, winter's coming.
Yeah.
He said, and I know what I know about me is winter's not a good time for me.
Yeah.
He said, it gets cold, obviously, but it don't just get cold outside. It gets cold inside.
Right.
It gets dark early. Y'all acting like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I know that y'all are just now coming out of the same slump we're coming out of. Then Bradford pears are blooming. It's like, man, it's a brand new day. Paul knew. He said, look, I need something. I said, I need some people.
Right.
I said, I need you to come. I need you to hurry. I said, don't tarry. He said, and I don't need just you. I said, I need some books.
Right.
He said, good night. I need my coat. I'm freezing.
Yeah.
He said, but more than anything, he said, I need them parchments.
Right.
He said, bring the book.
Right.
Bring the book.
Yeah.
His circumstances affected him personally.
Amen.
Let me say number two, that his circumstances affected him powerfully. I want you to think about this. 18 months living literally connected to a Roman soldier. No chance of escape. no basic enjoyments, no privacy, no personal rest, no relaxation, no plans that did not involve lugging his circumstances around with him. Quite literally. Is that not where we're at today? Boy, we love the Lord. We'll come in here and shout, and you better, friend, because I'm telling you, if you have one more opportunity, it might be your last opportunity. You better get in. We're already here. So we might as well get in and be here. But you'd be crazy to think that when you walked through those doors, you didn't walk dragging in your circumstances with you. Paul's chained to them. They are powerfully affecting him. They're powerfully affecting you. I've never seen the day that I'm seeing right now, and I clearly don't know near as much and have seen near as much as others have, but I've never seen the day where people are so controlled by their circumstances in their life, they have to take medicine to go to sleep. They have to take medicine to get up. They can't stay awake in church because it's that middle transitional period. They don't know exactly what's going on. All they can see is the walls. All they can see is the chains. And sometimes they forget Christ is in the midst of their circumstances. Well, if he's in the midst of my circumstances, why wouldn't he just change them? Has it ever dawned on you that deliverance is not the only answer that God gives? Sometimes it's development. Sometimes it's to create discipline. Sometimes it's to create determination. You say, I don't like that. I guarantee you Paul didn't either. He's in a prison, but he's dealing with a thorn in the flesh. He's dealing with all kind of physical maladies. He's dealing with the concern. Don't you know how concerned a pastor gets for his church? And as he sits there and wonders, how are my people doing? What are they doing? Are they still walking how I taught them? Are they still doing right? His circumstances are all encompassing. But yet he still found a way to look past it and see Christ in him. You're personally affected by him this morning, aren't you? I'm not denying that. I'm not even mad at you about it. You know what that makes you? Makes you human. You're powerfully affected by him. I'm not trying to make you seem like they don't matter. They do. Just like us, oftentimes we'll see that Paul was perpetually affected by his circumstances. What I mean by that is this don't seem to be a new thing in his life. If you were a pastor in that day, don't even worry about lodging. Before that meeting's over, he's going to be in prison somewhere. Or he's going to be out in the street. You don't got to worry about too much. This is not the first rodeo that he's been through. And honestly, it's not for you either. Seems like it comes one after another, doesn't it? One after another. Just a perpetual affecting. But do not miss this. Here is where I finish. If you've not listened yet, wake up and give me 5 minutes. He was profitably affected by his circumstances. I'd like to show it to you if I may. You say, how in the world could somebody that is in his case have any profitability whatsoever? I want you to go to Philippians chapter number 4. I want us to look toward the end of the chapter. He's closing out this epistle. Verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren which are with me greet you. Pay attention to verse number 22. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. What? Caesar's household? All right, let's put it together. Personally affected, yay or nay? Yes. Powerfully, yes. Perpetually, yes. Profitably? Oh, yes. See, here's something they didn't think about. You might be chained to Paul, but that means you're chained to Paul. So that means when a visitor comes in and says, preacher, how you doing? Oh, God is so good. Sit down and let me tell you about it. I'm in prison right now. I have no congregation. I have hardly no support. You're the first person I've seen in 3 weeks. But man, God has been wonderful. He's teaching me things. He's developing things in me. He's showing me new things. And the whole time that guard's sitting there going, what? I've been with this guy 24 hours a day. I cuss him. I beat him down. I oppress him. I make it hard for him. And he's here rejoicing, talking about how God's working in his life. Every time Paul goes somewhere, the Spirit of God goes with him. Every time Paul goes somewhere, even though his circumstances come along, also that purpose that he has, that knowing that Christ is not done with him and that he will bring all things to the good of him because he loves him. We still believe that this morning. So grab your chains, walk out in the world, show them what God is doing, and one day, somebody else will be blessed by your burdens.
Amen.
You say, why? 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 The reason may be the person across the street. It may be the person in your family that's near as hell. And they've never seen anybody real, but they're watching you. They are watching you. And the things that are eternally just burdensome to you will turn to be eternally blessing to them. Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
Do you see it? Your past, present, future circumstances, they may be the greatest opportunities for God to work through you to better someone else. Why do we have to shut the church down? Why are we still going back? You don't think that people drive up and down this road and they notice? And let me just let you in on a little something. Not everybody thinks that you're just idiotic and that you're unsafe. There's some people that respect the fire out of you for doing what you're doing. There's some people, for the first time, they're seeing somebody actually believes what they say they believe. Can you be profitably affected in your circumstances? Not only can you be, you should be. We should all look at ourselves and ask, God, where do you want to be magnified in my story, knowing that it is the story that you gave me? Hey, you don't like your physical situation right now? Look, I'm not saying that God is the author of evil. I would never say that. But I'm also not saying that God does not allow things to infiltrate our life for the better. For the better. Our circumstances, His cause. Our story, His glory. You may never get an answer, Lord, why me? But somebody else may be the benefactor of what you're going through. Don't just walk around clanking the chains. Walk around exalting the Christ.
Amen.